WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Many Americans remain deeply concerned about the nation's shrinking manufacturing sector, but recent data indicate an uptick in manufacturing activity. Last month, U.S. factory activity increased by far more than expected, bolstered by a surge in new factory orders. The Institute for Supply Management recently said that its index of national factory activity jumped to a reading approaching 60, the second highest reading in 6 years. Any reading above 50 signifies growth in manufacturing, which accounts for approximately 12% of America's economy. The survey's new orders sub-index has shot up to nearly 70, the highest reading since January of 2004. Manufacturers are also reporting an increase in export orders, a reflection of a strengthening global economy. There are also indications that domestic employment in manufacturing will continue to climb. As indicated by Reuters, manufacturers are also likely to receive a boost from the recently passed $1.5 trillion tax cut. The tax overhaul slashed America's corporate income tax rate from 35% to 21%, which should trigger more business spending, at least in the near term. For WIPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Those 529 plans that many families maintain to help save for college expenses represent some of the biggest winners in the recent federal tax overhaul. As indicated by writer Laura Saunders, new curbs on state and local tax deductions render these tax-sheltered accounts even more attractive. Many people also stand to benefit from a change that permits assets in these plans to be used to pay for private school tuition. 529 accounts are named after a tax code section enacted about 2 decades ago. Assets in these accounts can expand free from federal and state taxes. Withdrawals are also tax-free if they are used to pay for eligible education expenses like college tuition, books, and often room and board. According to the most up-to-date data from the College Savings Plans Network, assets in 529 plans grew from $106 billion in 2006 to $275 billion a decade later. Tax reform limits deductions for state income, sales, or property taxes to $10,000 per return. Consequently, a write-off for a 529 contribution can help reduce state income taxes that may no longer be deductible on a federal return. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. After almost a decade punctuated by a series of financial crises rippling from the U.S. to Europe and Asia, economies in virtually every corner of the world are expanding in unison. Joblessness has declined, trade flows are growing, stock markets have been soaring, and worldwide business investment is on the rise. The world has lacked this simultaneity since 2007, and many economists are asking the question, can this positive set of circumstances last? As indicated by writer Michael Shuman, many economists predict that it will, at least in 2018. But while there is solid momentum in the global economy presently, there are some unresolved issues that continue to make economists nervous, including growing income inequality and stagnant productivity. The World Bank forecasts that global growth this year will reach 3.1%, better than last year's 3% performance and the fastest pace since the post-economic crisis bump experienced in 2011. While many of the world's advanced nations are expected to see marginally slower growth this year, the World Bank projects that emerging economies will pick up speed. U.S. economic growth is expected to accelerate this year and may even reach 3% in 2018. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. More than a few WYPR listeners remember the oil shocks of the 1970s. Having become dependent upon foreign oil, Americans were subjected to a series of embargoes that limited deliveries of oil across the nation. The result was sky-high prices and long waits at gasoline stations. What a difference a few decades make. In its most recent monthly market report, the International Energy Agency indicated that U.S. oil production, which has already risen to its highest level in nearly 50 years, will push past 10 million barrels a day in 2018 as higher oil prices entice more production. As indicated by the Associated Press, the price of crude has risen by approximately 50% since June, with oil recently trading above $60 a barrel. There are a number of reasons for higher prices, including evidence of stronger global economic growth and a pact among members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Russia to limit their output. Thanks to that deal and associated higher prices, Russia is estimated to have earned an extra $117 million a day, and Russia about $100 million extra dollars per day. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. The general fertility rate is defined as the number of births for every 1,000 women of childbearing age in a given year. In America, the general fertility rate is at a record low. The total fertility rate estimates how many children women will have based on current patterns. The total fertility rate in the U.S. is now down to 1.84 births per woman. But as indicated by writer Claire Kane Miller, 86% of women ages 40 to 44 are mothers. That's up from 80% in 2006. These data are from a new analysis supplied by the Pew Research Center. Why are more women in their low 40s moms? It's because there has been an increase in births among groups of women that historically haven't had many babies. For instance, those with advanced degrees and those who were never married. Today, 80% of women with professional degrees or doctorates have a child by the time they are 44. That's compared to 65% two decades ago. During the mid-1990s, it was rare for a never-married woman in her early 40s with a postgraduate degree to have a child. Today, 25% of women who fit that profile have a child or more. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.